Reports indicate the government of Syria continues to use chemical weapons despite outcry from most of the international community. Early this month, eyewitnesses say a Syrian government helicopter dropped chlorine bombs in a northwestern province of the country.
The United Nations is investigating that attack and has looked into others, but not much has changed. With me to talk about the efforts of the Middle East Chemical Weapons Task Force is Ord Khitri, law professor at ASU, and he joins me via Skype. Ord, how large a problem are chemical weapons in the Middle East, and has there been any measurable progress toward eradication?
Chemical weapons have been a problem in the Middle East for a very long time. Even before the recent chemical weapons attacks by the Assad regime and prior to that by the Islamic State, there had been in the Middle East since World War II more chemical weapons attacks than in any other region of the world. Egypt used chemical weapons against Yemen from 1963 to 1967. Iraq used chemical weapons against Iran during the Iran-Iraq War. Iran reportedly used chemical weapons against Iraq during that same war. It happens again and again in the Middle East. And the concern I have about the recent uses by the Syrian government is the use of chemical weapons is not only accelerating. I mean, they have reportedly used chemical weapons six times in the past 6 weeks. But also, each time they do that, whatever taboo against the use of chemical weapons is left in the Middle East is eroding even further.
Are there, whether Syria or any other nation wants to follow them, are there official rules in place, maybe from the UN or somewhere else, that are designed to make sure these are not used?
Sure, absolutely. It's against international law. There's a chemical weapons treaty that prohibits the possession and the use of chemical weapons.
Well, that's why, in one sense, that was almost a rhetorical question, because, of course, there are supposed to be restrictions in place. So tell me about what the Middle East Chemical Weapons Task Force is working on and is trying to get laws in force that actually will need to be followed. I imagine that's a major part of the goal.
Absolutely. So what we did was we brought together people from 10 different countries in the Middle East, policy and technical experts, including countries which don't have diplomatic relations with each other. And we met a number of times in Europe, and we were really pleased. You know, people said ahead of time, oh, you know, you bring people together from these countries. These are countries at war with each other. They don't talk to each other. You'll never get them to agree on anything. But in the end, our task force participants agreed on a three-page joint statement and a list of 47 different potential steps which they, experts, believe are feasible in the current political climate to prevent, detect, and respond to chemical weapons acquisition and use in the region. So there are people in the region which, you know, in the wake of the chemical weapons attacks are saying, wow, we gotta rid our region of this. And we Arabs don't typically talk to Israelis, or we Iranians don't typically talk to Arabs very much. But this is something we can all come together around. And so these experts have come together and developed an action plan, which we're working to implement, to take various types of steps to prevent, detect, and respond to chemical weapons acquisition use in the Middle East.
Of the 47 you mentioned, we don't have time for 47, but what are a few that seem to you not just impactful, but all actually implementable?
Among them, you know, one challenge is that there are these international laws prohibiting the use of chemical weapons, and each country in the region is required to implement those laws, to, for instance, put laws on their own books prohibiting the use of chemical weapons. But the countries in the region have been remarkably poor at implementing those requirements. And so one of the things we talk about is efforts jointly to get countries in the region to put laws in their books to prohibit various things relating to chemical weapons, not only the use, but also, you know, put restrictions on the sale of chemical weapons and chemical weapons precursors so they won't end up in the wrong hands, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one thing that we're trying to do is get laws in the books in these individual countries implementing the international legal requirements.
What sort of progress do you think has been made? And has it been as rapid as you'd like? Has it been disappointing? Has it been beyond your dreams?
In terms of getting people to come together and agree, to ideas that they can move forward on together. The progress has been better than I expected. But actually implementing those ideas is harder. We had funds, for instance, from the Defense Department to bring people together to develop ideas. And the Defense Department has taken some of those ideas forward, funded various conferences, initiatives, et cetera, et cetera. But I'd like to see more attention paid to these efforts to bring together moderates in the region, the reasonable people of the region, the people in the region with consciences, and support their working together to combat things like chemical weapons use and biological weapons use and missile use.
Do those people with consciences have the power and influence in the Middle East these days? Would they have had more influence in past years?
I think to some degree, they have more influence now. What you're seeing in the Middle East, for a variety of reasons, is the Arabs, for example, being much more open to talking to the Israelis and working with the Israelis, in part because the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and the Gulf Arabs, for example, Saudi Arabia, are as concerned about Iran as the Israelis. You're seeing a lot more quiet diplomacy working together between Israel and a lot of the Arabs. And I think that actually contributed to the success of our task force, that there were certain officials from certain Arab countries and experts from certain Arab countries that might not have been willing to quietly sit down with Israelis in the past, but we're willing to do so now, in part because chemical weapons use is so abhorrent, and in part because there's a general warming of ties between Israel and many of the Arab states, particularly the Gulf Arab states, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, etc.
Ord Khitri is a law professor at ASU, and we've been talking about the Middle East Chemical Weapons Task Force.